Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, November 20th. I'm Ray Graff. You ready to get out of Dodge? Tired of the gray scenery you're used to seeing in the fall and winter, and you want to go someplace sunny and green and verdant and lovely? Well, we're going to talk travel today with Gene Gagnon of Plaza Travel Center in Latham. If you have a travel question, give us a call. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 is the number for your travel questions, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, or 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon, your travel questions coming up right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We're joined once again today by certified travel counselor Gene Gagnon. Gene is the president of Plaza Travel Center, a woman-owned business since 1969. The Institute of Certified Travel Agents awarded her the designation of certified travel counselor in 1985. She was an adjunct instructor of travel and tourism at University College of Syracuse University and Schenectady County Community College. At Plaza Travel, Gene specializes in VIP travel, custom planning, international itineraries, and group travel. The number to call if you have a travel question is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or feel free to email us as well, voxpop@wamc.org. That's the email address. Gene Gagnon, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great, Ray. How are you?
Good. You just got back, huh?
Yes, I did. I just got back from 2.5 weeks in Asia.
Ooh, do tell.
Okay, well, this trip was a little bit different because besides just the major sites and things like that, we really got immersed in a lot of the culture.
Mm.
You know, for example, in Seoul, we met a North Korean defector.
Oh.
And we're able to talk to her and learn her story. It was so interesting. And in Hiroshima, we met with a 92-year-old survivor.
Wow.
Of the A-bomb, which, you know, isn't going to be able to happen in so many years from now.
Right.
Yeah. You know, she was 12 at the time, and that was so fascinating.
Oh, my gosh.
And it wasn't a dry eye in the room, but we got to ask her questions, and she told us her story, and it was so interesting. And then we also did, like, fun stuff, like we learned how to make sushi, and we folded origami, and we saw all the major sights. We went on the bullet train, and this I have to tell you.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Okay.
Some train-related
No. I'll tell you about the train,
all right,
too. I'll do that one first. Okay. When you're sitting on the bullet train and the conductor comes through,
yeah,
when he goes towards the front of the train, you know, where you're facing, he turns around, bows, and then goes to the next car.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Tokyo was the cleanest city I've ever been in my entire life. There are no garbage cans on the street corners because you take your garbage home.
Yeah, I got a problem with that.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
it was beautiful. It was. I mean, if you were in a, you know, if you got something to go or something to eat, they would have a trash
can.
Okay,
good.
But I mean, if you're like walking down the street and you got a gum wrapper, you just tuck it in your purse or your pocket and throw it out when you get home.
Yeah.
Immaculate.
Okay.
I hate to bring this up, but it's true. Their toilets, their bathrooms.
Oh, boy.
Were cleaner, even in rest stops, than anything I've ever seen before.
To what do you attribute this cleanliness?
I don't know. It's their culture. They're very, very... there was one hotel that we stayed at that when you walked into your room, you took off your shoes and put the slippers on that
right.
they had right there.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you went into the little toilet closet...
Yeah.
So in other words, they had a separate little closet for the toilet, separate from the sink and the shower and everything.
Right.
There was another pair of slippers there.
Huh.
So you would go in that room with a different pair of slippers and then slip them off when you went into your bedroom. Immaculate. I mean, really, really immaculate.
So the slippers were one of the highlights of the whole thing?
I mean, No, but this was the funniest thing. We were about 150 meters from North Korea.
Oh, neato.
Yeah, that was...
Did you see Rocket Man?
No.
Okay.
But we went to the DMZ zone, all this stuff. I guess that's redundant, the DMZ.
Right.
So we were at a farmer's home. And we were having a home-hosted lunch. And when we walked in, they had a bunch of slippers for us to put on.
Yeah.
Two of them were from the New York Yankees.
No way. Yeah. And you're a Mets fan. So this
I know.
Is,
it was shocking.
Yeah. I'll just wear my socks. Okay. Wow, that's hurtful.
Yeah, it was a fabulous, fabulous trip.
Well, that's fantastic.
Really, people should definitely put it on their bucket list.
How was the food?
The food I thought was superb.
Yeah.
I mean, the beef.
Oh,
the
okay.
pork
yes.
was great. We went to a Korean barbecue where they do pork right at
Korean barbecue is one of the great things
oh,
in the
it
world.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. Of course, if you like fish, the sashimi and sushi was out of this world.
Try the urchin. Delicious.
I did try sea urchin.
I did
and
too,
and
I will never do it again.
And holy mackerel. I had a lot of mackerel.
Did you really? Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
So it was good.
It was excellent.
Well, this is great. Gene Gagnon is our guest. It's Travel Today, just back from Japan and Korea, etc. 800-348-2551. If you have a travel question, you can email us as well, voxpop@wamc.org. People have been emailing all day. This is people get very excited when Gene Gagnon's on.
Oh, that's nice.
Here's one from Dorothy in Andover. Greetings from across the border in Vermont. I believe Gene is one of the few people who can help me with my quandary. I'd like to travel to Europe next winter, 24 to 25, to spend 4 to 6 weeks staying in one town or small city, settling in, getting a real feel for the area. From that location, I'm hoping to travel by train for day trips and an occasional overnight. I don't mind snow, maybe some rain, and want to go in the off season. I'm traveling alone as an experienced, older person. Well, you didn't have to say that. I don't speak a foreign language, so would have to rely on Google Translate and the kindness of strangers. I would like to find a small apartment to rent. I have some thoughts on countries based on nothing but some reading. However, I have no idea if these are good choices. And of course, I have no idea about a town or small city in which to stay. Belgium, Netherlands, Northern Italy, Luxembourg, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. But I'm truly open to your suggestions. Looking forward to your response. I'm going to hand this to you because it was quite detailed, and you can follow up. Gene Gagnon, go.
Okay. Well, my first choice would be someplace that I would love to retire to. It's a little town, well, I guess a little city, called Santa Margherita Ligure. Okay, and it's on the Italian Riviera near Genoa.
Okay.
So you're only about 2 hours from Milan. You're only an hour to the Cinque Terre. You can go to Genoa. You can go into France. It's a beautiful, lovely little town. If I was going to Europe in the winter and going for 4 to 6 weeks, I would tend to lean towards the southern part of Italy.
Just because
it'll be a little bit warmer. It's not going to be hot.
Well, Dorothy doesn't mind the cold.
I know, but I still think it'll be easier.
To send her to Iceland.
Not for 4 to 6 weeks. to get around and to do things if she went to an area like that. Another great option would be somewhere along the Costa del Sol of Spain, like let's say Marbella. Because from Marbella, she could go to Gibraltar, she could go to Morocco, she could go to Seville, she could see the Alhambra in Granada. I mean, there's like a lot of places you can go to from there.
Yeah.
So that would be another great idea, I think. And also, I would also look at probably Provence, the southern coast or Provence in France.
Mm-hmm.
Again, easy to go day trips to lots of different places, very centrally located.
All right, here's the thing. I don't want to interrupt your role here, but Dorothy, I think that was her name, right? You have the sheet now. Yeah, is saying she wants to go in the winter 24 to 25. That's coming up. Is that too late in the game?
She's very late. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, she's very late. Yeah, that's going to be tough in some cases because if she's going in the winter, a lot of places aren't going to be available just because they closed down in the south. But yeah, she's very, very late. We highly recommend that people book their trips 6 to 10 months ahead of time. I know a lot of people can't plan for that, but if you don't book it 6 to 10 months ahead of time, you can't complain that the fares are high. You can't complain that I can't get an excellent hotel for $0. You know what I mean? You got to plan early to get the best deals.
So is she out of luck?
No, not necessarily, because at least she is going off season.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. This one is from Raymond. And Raymond writes, First of all, some thanks. Thank you for your sage advice on not flying out of Montreal for our European trips. On our auto trip to Tremblant, I asked the Canadian border agent how long of a wait we should expect. He said it's common to be waiting at the border for an hour or two, or even four. Ouch! Now, the question from Raymond, assuming we have refundable airline tickets, or at least changeable tickets, what's your advice when something goes awry because of weather? For example, what if we realize we'll miss our flight because we're stuck on a snow-covered highway on our way to JFK, or we make it to the airport to find our flight got canceled at the last minute?
Okay. Well, you're actually asking about two different things, and the responsibility is different on each one of those. So, first of all, when it comes to weather, okay, that they consider an act of God, and no airline is going to refund your ticket because they couldn't fly out because of the weather.
Right.
So you really want to get travel insurance in that case, because that will cover if an airline is canceled for weather or strike or other things.
Yeah.
As far as if you get stuck because of weather, that's your own fault. So think of it this way. Let's say you had tickets to, name your favorite band, Ray.
Well, just for the sake of argument, we'll say Grand Funk Railroad.
Okay,
just because it came to mind.
Okay, so Grand Funk Railroad is playing in Saratoga, and it's pouring rain, and you don't leave early enough, and you miss the show.
Yeah.
They're not going to refund you your tickets.
What about Molly Hatchet? No? Are there any bands that'll do that?
So, therefore,
okay.
So, therefore,
did you always tell me to shut up just now?
No, I didn't say to shut up.
Okay.
I shushed you.
Okay, fine.
Which is kind of like a Seinfeld moment. We shushed you. So, you really have to, like, if somebody did want to insist about flying out of Montreal, I would recommend they go up there and spend the night before.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you got to be safe. Airlines, let's say you're flying out of New York, you're supposed to check in 3 hours ahead of time. If I'm driving down from Albany, I get there like 5 hours ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, because you never know. I mean, all you need is one accident somewhere that's a crucial point, and you could be out of luck. So that's really on you. Even most travel insurance will not cover something like that.
Interesting. All right. Gene Gagnon's our guest. We'll take a break here. 800-348-2551. Don't worry. We're not going to play any Grand Funk Railroad during the break. We'll be back. What a lovely group there. That's the Deep Blue Organ Trio. They opened up for Steely Dan when they played over Tanglewood several years ago. And, what a group. Bobby Broom on the guitar. And that was a Stevie Wonder song, As.
Oh.
Do you like that?
I like Stevie Wonder.
Do you like Grand Funk Railroad?
Well, I don't have a lot of Grand Funk Railroad.
Nor do I. But what about the Outlaws? Right?
No, I don't have a lot of that either.
All right, fine. Let's go back to travel. Okay. Gene Gagnon's our guest. 800-348-2551. Couple more emails before we hit the phones, and then we'll hit the phones. This is from Mike in Saratoga. I'm planning a trip with three friends, all in our 60s, to Copenhagen, or Copenhagen, if you wish, and Oslo next June. I've heard good things about taking the overnight ferry from Copenhagen to Oslo as a means of transportation. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that versus renting a car or flying between the two cities. Of course, any other thoughts are welcome. Mike in Saratoga.
Hey, Mike. I'm sorry. He's not on the phone. Why am I saying hi? What did he say? What time of year he was going?
I'm planning on a trip with friends next June.
Oh, okay. Okay. So June would be good to take the ferry. I've taken an overnight ferry in Scandinavia before, and I thought it was fine. I mean, I had no problem with it. The cabins are really, really small. I mean, I actually have an old photo of me between the two single beds with my arms out, and I can touch both walls.
Oh, boy.
They're really, really small.
So it was a cell, really?
It was a cell,
okay.
Yeah. But it's one night, and they have a bar, and they have music, and I think it's a fun way to get from one place to the
other. How long of a trip is the ferry trip?
The one I took, I don't know offhand how long, the Copenhagen-Oslo one, the one I took was maybe 10 hours.
Okay. That's a long trip.
Yeah, you want to overnight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you buy food, and, you know, it was kind of fun. I thought
Did you get good and liquored up at the bar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good. That makes the small room a lot easier to deal with.
Exactly.
Yeah, good for you. All right, so anything else there that
Oh, Copenhagen is beautiful.
Yeah.
And Oslo is great. They're both wonderful cities. You do need to know that they are not the cheapest cities in Europe.
Okay, Scandinavia. Why is that, you think?
I'm not sure why. Maybe it's taxes. I don't really know why, but it's usually one of the more expensive places. So hotels are going to be a little bit more.
Yeah.
Meals are going to be a little bit more. But beautiful old towns, lots of things to do. So Oslo, you can go on day trips and see some of the fjords. I think it would be a nice trip.
All right. This is from Amy in Massachusetts. By the way, the number here is 800-348-2551. If you have a travel question for Gene Gagnon from Plaza Travel Center, this is from Amy in Massachusetts, who says, "Hi, Vox Pop humans." Well, hello back. How does the Companion Fare credit card, PERC, work for multi-leg trips? If I booked everything on the same day for 1 month of travel, how much of this could work as a companion fare for another person? Fly from the East Coast of America to West Coast or Texas, 10 days later fly to Hawaii, 10 days later back to the West Coast or Texas, 10 days later back to the East Coast. You get the picture?
I got the picture.
Okay.
However, she doesn't mention which airline. So every airline's a little bit different with their companion fare. The majority of companion fares, if you read the small print, are only good in the 48 continental states and are not good for multi-leg journeys. So the majority, it'll only be good. Now, that doesn't mean they couldn't go. For example, they could fly from New York to, let's say, San Francisco, and then fly from Los Angeles back to New York. That's not a multi-leg. That's called something else.
Okay.
But no, they can't do like three different flights.
The whole thing. That would be a great value, though, wouldn't it?
It would be a fantastic value, and that would mean they wouldn't offer it anymore.
Yeah, all right. Gene Gagnon is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Before we go to the phones, I heard a news story this week about an airline, I think flying out of Stewart, that has canceled one-way trips to the Faroe Islands. Have you ever been to the Faroe Islands?
No.
Do you know anything about the Faroe Islands? They're off of Denmark, right?
Yes, they are.
Is it a nice place? I might be wrong about that.
I don't even know.
That could be where King Kong lives, for all I know. I just don't know.
I have never booked anyone to the Faroe Islands, so I don't know a lot about it, but I'm sure I could learn.
Which explains why they probably canceled the flights.
Well, this is the thing. Stewart has had a lot of airlines that have come in and advertise these super low fares. I remember for a while you could go to Copenhagen. I think Oslo was another one, too, that you could go from Stewart there, ridiculously low prices, but they only ran a couple of days a week. And people would say, should I take advantage of it? And I would say, yeah, but know that they're not legacy carriers, which are, you know, American, United, Delta.
Right.
And they're not even really country-sponsored airlines like Air France or Scandinavian Airlines. You know what I mean? Those are the big boys. Lufthansa would be Germans, right. So that they can cancel and they can pull out of Stewart anytime they want. And if your trip is scheduled next week,
yeah,
they might give you your money back. But what are you going to do about the hotels you have booked and all that stuff? I just think Stewart has not panned out for so many airlines that I would be leery.
Well, don't you think it's tough? And we don't want to get in trouble with Stewart, but don't you think it's tough when you're in the virtual shadow of Newark and
New
York City? I mean, it's got to be a little tricky to navigate
that. And you've got to think that you've got to fill that flight every Tuesday or Friday, whatever days you're going. You have to fill it.
Yeah.
Try to fill it all the time. And number one, if you're only going several days a week, it might not fit what people want to do.
Yeah, I see.
And the other problem that I really can't stand about airlines that fly only several days a week to a particular routing is that, let's say you're supposed to fly out on Tuesday and there's a storm and they have to cancel the flight. You're not going out Wednesday. You're going maybe Thursday if Thursday's flight isn't already sold out.
Right.
So we usually do not recommend people take those trips.
You want to know something? All I wanted to do was find out about the Faroe Islands. I didn't want to give anybody a hard time. Let's just go to the phones before we get into further trouble.
Okay.
Gene Gagnon is our guest today. It's Travel 800-348-2551. Michael's in Bennington. Hello, Michael.
Hey. So, Gene, I love hearing you on the radio every single time. I wish I had your life. I feel like I went to college for the wrong thing because you are living the dream. But I'm wondering, so I actually kind of grew up in a lower middle class household, and we didn't really have a lot of options for travel. We had to kind of scrimp and save just to go to Disneyland. But now that I'm adult and I'm still kind of at a middle class stage, I still want to live on a budget, but I do want to go internationally. And I'm wondering what would be accessible to me if I live in the Northeast. Okay. To travel internationally on a budget.
Right. Okay. So I can tell you some of the things that would help you tremendously. Number one, travel in the off season. So let's say you want to go to Paris. Go to Paris in February. Number one, it's going to be a lot less crowded. It's going to be 50% of the cost. And yeah, you might have to wear a jacket, but it's not going to snow, you know, 2 feet, you know. So go in the off season, whatever season they're at their peak, you want to avoid that.
Okay.
All right. So that's the biggest thing. Number two is maybe go to one of the countries that is a little less expensive. For example, Greece is very reasonable, and so is Portugal.
Oh.
They're of the Mediterranean countries, they're a lot less expensive. So those would be the two biggest things. Also, you want to travel with someone if you can, because then you're sharing hotel costs. You know, if you're just by yourself, you're paying the whole room. But if you
right.
can share it with someone, you're going to save money there. Using public transportation once you're there. So rather than getting a airport shuttle from Paris, from De Gaulle into Paris, you know, you take advantage of their public transportation.
Yeah.
A little less convenient, but definitely saving money. So there's a lot of different ways that you can do it. But traveling off season is the best.
Michael.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, you know, I have, every time I ask for advice on where to go, being in the Northeast, people tell me Iceland is being the cheapest. And I think that has everything to do with proximity, but maybe not practicality. Maybe
I'm wrong. Well, the problem is the airfares are low, but everything else is very, very high in Iceland. Very high, because they have to import so much
except
stuff.
Except the ice, obviously.
Except the ice, yeah.
Well, Michael, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it very much. 800-348-2551. You know, regarding public transportation, and let's leave the U.S. out of this for a moment so we don't get into any further trouble. What's the country that you have been to that has the kind of lamest public transportation?
Oh, the lamest?
Yeah. Not the, you know, every country has spots where you don't have public transportation, but in general, just a general vibe a la Gene Gagnon.
Well, that's really, really hard to say because I hate to use the word lame because there are certain countries that it's problematic because of maybe their geography.
No.
So, or how recently they
like
started.
Easter Island, for instance, would be tough, right?
Yeah, but like, for example, Croatia. Croatia is very modern. They've got beautiful cities, you know, but their infrastructure, their trains, for example, have been impeded because really until they became independent, there wasn't a lot of infrastructure. So they've had less time to build it up.
Sure.
And also because they're so mountainous. So, you know, that's a really hard thing to say.
Okay, I'm not going to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay. Now, but now I'm thinking about it. It's going to be interesting.
Well, that'll be homework for the next time.
Okay.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Amherst, Massachusetts is the place. It's Blake's turn. Blake, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm taking my 19-year-old grandson to France in January, and he's a skier. So we're landing in Paris, do that for a couple of days, and then my idea is to take a train to one of the French Alps ski resorts, if you had any recommendations there. Then we're heading over by train to Toulouse, Carcassonne, that area, so he can ski in the Pyrenees. And I used to live in Carcassonne area. So what would you recommend, ski resorts? And then I have a second question.
All right, so you're going into Paris. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say you could probably look at, I'm thinking what would be the easiest for you. You know, St. Moritz is way on the other side, almost by the Dolomites. So I don't know that you want to do that. And the thing is, there are always ski, it depends upon what he wants to do. So for example, there are always smaller ski resorts that are closer to towns that are more like local. Like when you're in Syracuse, you can go to Labrador Ski Resort. You know, it's like this little tiny, you know, ski resort, but it's skiing, right. You know? So it depends upon where you really want to go. If he really wants to say that he skied the Alps, then you obviously have to go a lot further in order to do that outside of Lucerne or Bern or something like that. But then it's expensive, okay? So the winter season...
We're doing one day.
Right. What I would recommend doing, quite honestly, is maybe look at... Zurich, and look at Bern.
Okay.
Go on Google and mm-hmm. put in closest ski resorts to Bern, for example, because Bern is on a really good rail line to get there from Paris. Okay, and also look at Munich.
Wow.
There are ski resorts right outside Munich that are only like an hour away. You know, so they're smaller, local, rather than going someplace that's that's an actual ski resort. You sort of want to go where families are going, if you wanted to do that, because then if you're going down to Toulouse and Carcassonne, you know, you're going so much further south. There's no direct rail. You know, you're going to have to go from Bern down through probably Grenoble, Avignon, and then over. Yeah. You know, you've got the mountains in the way there.
Yeah.
So I would look at one of the major cities, even Paris. Paris might have some ski resorts that are outside of Paris an hour or two. I wouldn't know about them because they're more local.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, also check outside of Strasbourg, Bern, Zurich, maybe even Lucerne. At least then you would be in the Alps.
Well, Blake, have a great trip. Thank you for calling. You know, Gene Gagnon, you're one of my favorite guests anyway, but you get more respect out of me because you don't set up a computer. You're just, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at some maps just
That's
to refresh
amazing.
My memory
That's
amazing. Where certain places are.
I mean, if you ever need help coming into the building, I mean, you carry so many documents with you. I'm sure we could send somebody out. Let's go to Stone Ridge. Rebecca, you're on with Gene Gagnon.
Hi, Gene. I was caught in the Denver airport last September. The first day, I had four flights canceled because of technical difficulties. And the airline, United, put us up in hotels and provided us with meals.
Right.
The second day, we went back and Hurricane Emily had moved into New York and all flights were canceled all day.
Mm.
I don't know if they would have offered me accommodations that night since I was held there since the previous morning, but
probably
all the
not.
Probably not
because it was an act of God at that point, right?
Right. All the passengers canceled all day long because of the weather, got nothing,
right?
And they were not happy.
Well, they should have bought travel insurance.
They
should have bought travel insurance. That would have covered for flights.
And that would have been covered.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. So I had somebody going to Hawaii on their honeymoon, and they were going Albany, Chicago, Chicago, Honolulu. And when they got to Chicago, the flight was canceled due to weather. So so I said, well, see if you can get further. You know, you always want to get as far as you can. So they were able to get a flight to San Francisco. They overnighted in San Francisco. The next day took their flight to Hawaii. Not only were they reimbursed for their hotel room in San Francisco, but they were reimbursed for the night that they lost in Hawaii.
Okay.
And the taxi and the meals. You know, it's so funny because we mention travel insurance to people every week we talk about, every time I'm on, right?
Sure.
And, you know, people that when we mention it to them, their response is, well, I don't plan on canceling. It's like, well, I don't plan on getting in an accident on the way back to my office, but I have insurance just in case.
Yeah.
So people should really, really think about that. Yes, it's an added cost. But the way things are nowadays, I think it's a cost well worth it.
Did they put you up in a hotel, Rebecca?
The first night they did.
Oh, okay. I was writing something down.
They did the first night.
Yeah. Okay.
And the second night, they because I had a medical condition, they held a plane for me and got me out.
Wow.
Captain's first class seat.
Wow, that's kind of a miracle right there.
That's amazing. So, note to self, fake some sort of illness when I fly. That's a great idea.
I honestly didn't know if I had actually died there in the hotel.
Well, I'm glad it worked out in the end.
Well, Rebecca, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You know, just thinking about that, being stranded in an airport. Yeah, as you know, I don't travel, right? My wife and I, we don't go anywhere. You travel. Have you ever traveled with your husband?
Yes.
Is it as stressful as I would imagine? Would you prefer traveling solo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just because there's always that.
Well, yeah. I think.
Shall we delve further into this?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. But I will tell you this. When I was flying home from Seoul, it was a 10-hour flight to San Francisco, and then it was going to be another 5.5-hour flight to Newark. And somebody said to me, oh, you must be used to this part of it. I go, no, I hate it.
Oh.
I go, I don't like sitting in a plane for 10 hours. I mean, granted, I can watch TV. I can try to sleep and everything.
Yeah.
I said, but I look at it as like giving birth.
Okay.
Because it's horrible.
Right.
But then a couple of years later, you just look at this beautiful baby, or in my case, you remember your fond memories.
Right.
And you kind of forget the bad part.
Yeah, okay.
So you put up with it.
Here's an idea.
Yeah.
If it's like, why don't they give everybody Pitocin?
You know what? There you go.
Zach, let's take a break. 800, an epidural. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's travel. It's a little medical. It's a little bit of marriage counseling. It's Gene Gagnon, and we'll be back. Reuben Wilson, that's Yes Sir here on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest. Before the next call, I mentioned Easter Island earlier. I've been watching this series on Netflix called Ancient Apocalypse with Graham Hancock. Great show. And the season 2 is about Easter Island for quite a bit. You ever go?
I have not been, but I've definitely sent clients.
How long does it take to get there?
Well, you fly.
You go from Peru?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they have an airstrip.
There. Yeah.
Because all you see most of the time is those huge monolithic.
Right.
There are people who live there and
there's
infrastructure.
Yeah, it's a small town. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Absolutely. I've got some people going there. They're spending 3 or 4 nights there, you know, the next people that are going. Yeah.
That is so cool.
And by the way, I did look up the Faroe Islands.
Yeah.
You were absolutely correct.
Really?
It is.
That's the first time that's ever happened.
I believe it.
Ouch.
It's somewhere between Iceland and the Shetland Islands, which are, you know, it's to the northeast kind of Scotland.
Ah, okay.
So, very interesting.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And this is Gene's last program, so better get your calls in now at 800-348-2551. Kim in Rhinebeck. Kim, you're on.
Hi.
Hello? Hello, Kim.
Oh, so sorry about that. Okay, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm just wondering if Gene has any suggestions on an excellent place to retire outside of the U.S.
Well, I've always said that if I was going to retire, I would retire to Santa Margherita Ligure in Italy. It's the same place that I told this lady previously that she should get an apartment for 6 weeks. But there's also a great deal of many, many expats in the south coast of Spain along the Costa del Sol and Portugal. Portugal is very, very inexpensive. Unfortunately, they have the lowest minimum wage and things like that. And that's one of the reasons why it's so inexpensive. But Portugal would be an excellent idea. And it's a temperate kind of zone. There's a lot of places you can go from there. Of course, it depends upon what you want, whether you want a big city, whether you want a small town. But my bet would be Portugal or Italy. That would be for me.
Oh. You know, Kim, what do you think? Are you going soon?
Yeah, I just came back from Italy. I wish I had known about that little town. But we're planning on going to Portugal very shortly, so check
out. Oh, you can check it out. Yeah, definitely. I mean, make sure, besides Lisbon, that you do get to Porto and some of the little towns in between. Obidos is one of the prettiest villages in Portugal. That's between the two of them. And Coimbra is the university that a lot of the stuff from Harry Potter was kind of based on. Like when I was there, the kids were graduating.
Yeah.
And they all had what looked like Harry Potter robes
on.
Cool. It was really kind of cool.
Oh,
yeah. It was really, but a beautiful library there and everything. So I'm glad you're going to Portugal, and I think you'll really, really enjoy it. It's beautiful.
Kim, you want a last word here?
No, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for calling.
800-348-2551. A couple emails here, and then we'll jump back to the phones. This is from Paul. I have wanted to go to Bora Bora. Would you recommend this? And if so, any suggestions on where to stay and what to do?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, Bora Bora is beautiful. It's a long way to go. I'm trying to remember how many hours. There's a nonstop, I think, to Papiette. I'm not sure. But anyway, if you go that far, I would recommend doing more than just Bora Bora. Like, I would maybe start in Tahiti, then maybe Moorea, and then maybe end in Bora Bora.
Okay.
Unless you really just want to do, you know, swimming and swimming with the sharks and snorkeling and, you know, because...
Swimming with the sharks.
Well, it's
That's
something that you can do.
That's on my bucket list.
Okay. It probably would be your bucket list.
No.
So, I mean, it's definitely, there's not a huge amount to do. I mean, you can go up into the mountains, but if you really, really just love being on the water, near the water, there are some beautiful resorts there that you can actually get overwater bungalows.
Oh, cool.
Where in the middle of the bungalow, there's a glass.
So
you can look down and see all the sea life. And then they usually have like a little deck that actually goes right into the water.
What if the weather's bad? You get a wave takes away your bungalow.
Well, all right. So this is very interesting because I think I saw something. Somebody posted something on one of the social medias about complaining about how bad the weather was when they were in the islands. And it was because they went in the hurricane season.
Ah.
I mean, that's when we were talking to the gentleman earlier about saving money and going off season. One of the places you don't ever want to go off season, unless you have travel insurance, are the tropics.
Yeah.
You know, hurricane season, for example, in the Caribbean is May to October.
Yeah.
That's a long time. I mean, you can still go in August and maybe it'll only rain for a little bit in the afternoon, but it's also hurricane season. Mm. So you want to make sure you get travel insurance if you go then. It's also why it's the cheapest time of year to go.
Right.
So, I mean, for the most part, Hawaii and Tahiti and Bora Bora, they're beautiful year-round. Really, really nice year-round. So I wouldn't worry too much about it, but I'd always make sure to get travel insurance.
This is from James. Have you ever visited Canada's newest province called Nunavut? Well, I believe it's a territory, James. What? Maybe it's a province now. What should one find out before planning a trip there? And what advice would you give for those of us who'd rather travel to places that are off the beaten path?
Well,
you're going to go to Nunavut?
It's like I have never been there.
It's very cold
because
says
it's
Paul
not
Piano.
On my list.
All right,
and I have to tell you that places that are really off the beaten path, are off the beaten path because they're usually hard to get to. So, for example,
you need a path. So, they're going to be hard to get to.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? So, it's not something that is normally something that we would get a call about. It's not something I'm well versed in.
James will be airlifted in.
Yeah, obviously.
Right. So, I think he's just being a wise guy because Paul Kyano.
He always mentions
the Nunavut territory.
Right.
And all right.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay. Pat and Oneonta saith, my husband and I plan to visit London for several days in late April and early May. From there, we wish to visit Ireland for just a few days. We then might be ready to go on to Italy, and I especially want to visit Venice, but we want to keep the itinerary loose and flexible. 2.5 weeks total time. We're in our mid-70s. And we think we might want something like an open ticket for our return, maybe out of Rome instead of back to London. We need some tips and advice. That's from Pat in Oneonta.
Okay. If I was going to be honest, I would never do a trip like that. I wouldn't do London and Ireland and Italy. Every time you move, number one, you've got to check out of your hotel by like 10 or 11 in the morning. If it's an international flight, which these all would be, you have to get to the airport at least 3 hours ahead of time.
Dikes.
Then you have an hour or two flight. Then you have to get from the airport to the new hotel. So you're wasting one whole day almost every time you move internationally like
mm-hmm.
that. Okay. If it was me, I would really set a priority for what you want to do. Do you want to see Ireland? Do you want to see Britain? do you want to see Italy? And I would concentrate that 2.5 weeks in that one location. Number one, you're going to save time. Saving time saves money. Okay, so it's much cheaper to take a train between two cities than it is to take a taxi to the airport and then take a flight and then take another taxi. Plus, trains go city to city.
Don't they have tunnel now trains?
Yeah, they do. And that goes city to city. Yeah, but she said London and Ireland.
And then Italy.
Right. Yeah. So that's not going to work. Yeah. So she would have to fly.
All right. You
could take a ferry, but it would take too long and waste more time. I highly recommend, if you can, to try to do a region first and do it well. You know, so, all right, so if you go to London, you're going to see London, but you probably won't see Bath. You're not going to see Oxford. You're not going to see Edinburgh, whereas if you spent 2.5 weeks in Britain, you could see all of those. They're closer together. You'd spend less time traveling. All right, so let's say you want to go to Ireland for 2 or 3 days. You're only going to see Dublin. You're not going to see Killarney, or you might, you know, you're really, and then if you go and see Venice, you're not going to go see the Colosseum in Rome? You're not going to go to Florence? Personally, I would recommend that you concentrate on one area. That is the best value. Okay. However, if somebody's going to insist upon doing this, you want to make sure you get an airline ticket that allows changes. You don't want to, there's no such thing as an open ticket anymore. Either buy one way there and then you buy one way back, or you get an airline ticket that has a flexible return where you maybe pay $200, but even then you can only change the date. You can't change the city pair.
Okay.
So you do have to decide where you're flying into and where you're flying out of.
All right. He's a little stern there.
I was stern.
Yeah,
and I apologize
so.
For that. But it's really, it just makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
It's better value for your
what
dollar.
What about wanderlust? What about, just winging it?
Just winging it?
Yeah.
Not since post-COVID.
Okay.
It's so busy. Everything is so crowded that it's very, very difficult to do it that way.
We're joined by argumentative travel counselor Jean Gagnon today on the program. Stephanie writes in, then we'll go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Can you get travel insurance for pre-existing conditions? Any recommendations about where to look? And that's from Stephanie.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so most of the time when you want to get pre-existing conditions covered, you have to buy your travel insurance within 2 to 3 weeks of your first deposit. Plus, you have to be able to prove that you could have traveled the day you bought your travel insurance. So for example, if you want pre-existing conditions and you currently have a broken leg and you don't want to travel with a broken leg, you really can't buy the insurance now, because the doctor would say they couldn't have traveled then anyway.
No,
you know what I mean? It's like, you know, buying car insurance after the crash. You know what I mean? But if you've got something like my mother had a pacemaker,
yeah.
Okay? So if she paid a deposit on a trip and bought her travel insurance within, let's say, 2 to 3 weeks, it depends upon the policy, anything related to that pacemaker that came up would have been covered, even though it was a pre-existing condition.
So heart attack, stroke, anything
would have been covered if she bought it within the correct time.
Interesting.
And she wanted to know where you can get it. You can go online. You can also talk to whoever you're purchasing your airline or tour from. And, you know, any reputable travel agent should be able to sell travel insurance, even if they didn't book the trip with them.
All right, 10-4. Let's go back to the phones. Jean Gagnon is our guest. 800-348-2551. Virginia is in Adams. Hello, Virginia.
Hi.
You're on.
Hi.
Hi. What's up?
Oh, I want to go to Europe with a group, but I am mobily impaired. Do they have any such thing where, you know, they provide electric wheelchairs or some other form of transportation to go from one venue to another?
Okay, good question.
Yes, there are some tours that do that. It's very difficult in Europe because so many things are so old, and obviously the American Disability Act doesn't apply there. And there are some places there that they just can't they try to make as accessible as possible. But so, for example, in Venice, almost every single city and every single hotel has about a 6-inch lip to get into them because they flood there.
Oh, yeah.
So they all have these lips. So some of them do have put ramps out during the summer or when it's not flooding for some people. And they have finally added ramps on a lot of the Venice bridges, but only the main ones, you know. But yes, I've done handicap trips for people before, or there are handicap groups. You're not going to be able to do everything somebody else could do, but quite a bit.
Okay.
So, but usually you're actually bringing your own wheelchair or something like that.
Virginia.
I see. Yep. Yep. Great.
All right.
Thank you.
That makes me so happy.
Good. Cool. Good.
Well, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. What is that gemstone on your pen, by the way?
Oh, my goodness.
What the heck?
I went to a wedding shower, and these were given out as gifts. And I always lose my pen.
Yeah.
If people could see it, it's usually not, this isn't my style. Usually
no,
I'm not.
It doesn't strike me as your style.
No. It's a little too glitzy for me, but it's got this giant fake pink stone on the end of my pen, and Ray is fascinated with it.
Well,
no,
any shiny objects.
If it was that big and real, it would have been on my finger.
Any shiny objects usually get my attention. I'm drifting away. Dave is in Niskayuna. Dave, you're on.
Yes, hi. I'm just calling in to make a couple comments about Easter Island.
Oh, splendid.
My wife and I visited there as part of our 9-month around the world trip honeymoon.
Cool.
Way back in 1992. So at that point, the only way to get there was actually flying from Santiago, Chile, on the Chilean airline LATAM. There were no flights, and there currently aren't any flights from Peru. The only other way to get there by air was by charter flights, like a some sort of a cruise kind of a thing.
All right, Dave, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're almost out of time. Did you actually have a question?
Wow.
Nope, just wanted to make a comment about getting there. It's a wonderful place.
Did you have fun, Dave? Dave, I'd love to talk to you more about this, but Gene is yelling at me. Just quickly, was it really cool? I mean, I want to go there.
Absolutely fantastic.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Highly recommend it.
Come back on the show next time Gene is here, and we'll talk about that more. Thank you very much. 800-348-2551. Boy, you are full of the old vinegar today. You know what I mean? Oh, boy, don't get on her bad side, folks. Jane in Albany. Jane, you're on.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Now, just be careful.
Oh, hi. I better make this quick. Gene's got a little Gene, I'm considering going to Italy, and I'd like to go to take a cooking class for 1 week, but stay on the premises.
Oh, I know just the place for you. Villa Bordoni.
Villa Bordoni?
Villa Bordoni. Look up that baby. They've got a cooking school right
B-O-R?
On site. B-O-R Bordoni. D-O-N-I. But there are others, too. There are tons of them. Tuscany is your best bet. And then you'll also, as part of the cooking school, you'll go to Florence, to the food markets. You'll go to a winery. You know, it's a fabulous thing to do. I did one just last year for about four ladies traveling together. They loved it.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, Italy's the best place for the one-week cooking school. And Tuscany, I think, is going to be the best place for you.
All right, Jane, thanks a lot for the call. Now, would it be all right if I read an email here for the last
few?
Okay, just want to make sure. This is from Jeff. I'm considering a trip to St. Louis from Albany in a roomette on a train.
Did you pay him to write that?
Hang on, we only have a minute. My concern is that I'm sensitive to smells. I get headaches easily from certain chemicals. Would the diesel fumes on the train be an issue inside the rooms while traveling or only while outside the train? Any thoughts?
Well, actually, I'm going to have Ray Graff answer this question because he's probably been on more trains than I have.
It's not fair because I love diesel fumes. I got to be honest with you. It's one of my favorite things. So I really can't answer that question, Jeff.
I would say it can be.
Yeah.
It can be. It depends which way.
Okay.
It can be. Yeah.
Well, this was quite a firework-filled show.
Well, we got like a lot of calls in. That was great. A lot of people got their answers.
I thank my lucky stars that you are not my boss. That's all I can tell you, Gene Cagden. Oh, boy. Now, if anyone wants to call you, what's a good day where you're in a good mood? Or at
I'm
Plaza
always
Treble?
In a good mood. Okay. 518-785-3338. Or they can email me at gene@plazatravel.net. And if they want to see pictures from my Japan trip,
yes,
they should go to our Facebook page, which is Plaza Travel Center on Facebook. It's open to the public.
Yeah.
You're going to love the pictures.
Well, this was fun. At times, it was a lot of fun. Gene Cagden, we'll see you soon. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too, Rick.
Support comes from Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation, working to make year-end giving easy for donors at all levels, bringing communities together to support nonprofits and students since 1987. More at berkshiretaconic.org. And Curtis Lumber, specializing in kitchen design services with cabinetry from Wellborn at Marilot. Virtual designer consultations available, curtislumber.com. Well, thanks again to Gene Cagden of Plaza Travel Center for joining us. Apologies to independent airlines, various airports, various callers. We apologize to everyone. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phone screened by Andrea Leon. That's one for the books. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's Astronomy with Bob Berman and Dr. Valerie Rapson. What could go wrong? We'll see you, too.